Fan-run radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Top up in the mountains, we talking sports. This is John Reed and Cody McClure to give you more. This is Fox Sports up in the booth. We going live. I'ma scream Rocky Top till I'm hoarse, until I die. Got a blue tick coon hound laying on the front porch. Fox Sports giving Tennessee what they asked for. I get my tickets from a scalper out in front of Neyland. This is our religion. This is what we all believe in. Talk sports, talk sports, talk sports, talk sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Hour three kicking off from Fan Run Studios. Missing the first 2 hours, check out the podcast. iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, FoxSportsKnoxville.com. Protected by 245 Tech. 43% of cyber attacks are aimed at small to mid-sized businesses. Don't wait to become another statistic. Hour three headlines. Cody McClure, collision course right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Big Ben has a 2-year extension with the Steelers.
Have they just that's going to be breaking news then, right?
Yeah, pretty much. The Steelers reportedly have locked up Big Ben, it was 50 minutes ago, through 2021 with a 2-year extension. The team had been angling whether to strike a new deal with its longtime quarterback before the draft. So Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown may be gone, but Big Ben is in Pittsburgh to stay, at least for a couple years. They agreed to a 2-year extension that will keep him there through 2021. Contract talks had heated up this week, according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, suggesting the Steelers wanted to finalize an agreement before the draft. So they got that done.
Is that the Steelers just, I mean, they've already made the statement that the Steelers are Big Ben's team, right? And they traded off Le'Veon Bell. They got rid of Antonio Brown. They said, hey, Big Ben's our guy.
Yeah, I guess so. It'll keep him among the game's higher paid quarterbacks.
But not the highest, right? They didn't have to go and outdo.
No, it did not reach the plateaus. Speaking of a quarterback who gets paid a lot, Matthew Stafford, he has returned to the Lions facility after his wife underwent a 12-hour brain surgery. Detroit had permitted Stafford to stay home for as long as he needed. Yet Stafford was at the Lions training facility first thing this morning, ready for work, according to Adam Schefter. His wife had to have a 12-hour surgery to remove a brain tumor.
Two brain tumor stories in the last 6 minutes of the show.
Pretty wild, isn't it? I guess it was successful, though. It says she's
good
in recovery and doing
good.
Well, and Stafford is back at work.
I don't like Matthew Stafford as a quarterback, but he seems like a genuinely good dude. Every time I've seen him do things, he seems just like a nice guy.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you don't want to wish ill on anybody's family. I'm happy that Matt Stafford's wife is, you said, recovering, that the surgery went well.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Maybe wish ill on, like, the Manson family. There aren't many families you would wish ill on, but.
Do you wish ill on, like, the bad Manson's relatives? This goes back to the whole.
No, not his relatives, but, you know, the family, the quote family.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's, I'm wishing bad on him, not his family.
Maybe the Adams family?
No, we like the Adams family here. What the Adams family ever do to you? I mean, it's like we talked about
creepy.
It's like we talked about in season 7 when Daenerys started burning the Lannister army. Like, just because you're on the wrong side necessarily doesn't mean that I'm wishing you to get burned up by a dragon. Right.
Do we wish ill on the Lannister family, though?
No. Wish ill on Cersei.
Well, Tywin was kind of...
We like Jaime and Tyrion.
I like Cersei. The woman accusing Luke Walton of a 2014 sexual assault said today that she was terrified that he was going to rape her and that it took her so long to publicize the allegations because she was scared.
Scared of the backlash that she would receive? Because, I mean, he was the assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors when this happened. So, I mean, he wasn't like he worked in L.A., but Luke Walton is someone who's played in Los Angeles for a long time, right? He played with, I believe, his entire career with the Lakers. I don't think he played with another team. He might have, but obviously the majority of his career is with the Lakers. He won championships with the Lakers. It had to have been odd whenever this happens. The next thing you know, he turns up as the head coach there in your city.
Yeah.
When your network is covering him. So I kind of buy that.
Yeah, she said yesterday she was terrified.
It has to be just the backlash,
that
right?
He was going to rape her and that it took her so long to publicize the allegations because she was scared.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess the backlash, and that's probably got a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Which I understand. I mean, that's... It's a weird dynamic because he wasn't her boss or he wasn't a superior or she wasn't beholden to him whenever the incident happened. Now, he had helped write the foreword in her book, but he was with the Warriors.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how that plays out. Jimbo Fisher says he has no plans to leave Texas A&M following athletic director Scott Woodward's departure last week to LSU.
That's weird, right? He said he went to Texas A&M because he loved the AD, and then the AD went to LSU, where, of course, Jimbo Fisher has always been rumored to go coach.
Very interesting tie there. But
what happens if LSU loses this year? What happens if Ed Orgeron falls on his face and they go 7-5, 8-4? Which, to say going 8-4 is a falling on your face, that just kind of shows the difference in programs. But
well, I mean, part of me could kind of see that. I mean, that connection obviously would be there for Jimbo Fisher to end up at LSU, but that money he's set to make at A&M is significant.
And you think it'd be hard for LSU, even with this new AD, to pony up, you know, to give him that same money at LSU, right?
Right. That's a lot of it. Yeah, they're strapped for money.
And I would assume the buyout's going to be tough there. So, yeah, Jimbo Fisher's like, yeah, I'm happy at Texas A&M. That $7.5 million clears every year. I get that check.
Well, and the narrative around Louisiana for the last few years has been that they don't have a lot of money.
Right.
They're struggling financially as a state and their government and everything. So
right.
I don't think they'd be able to pay him. But Jimbo says he's staying at A&M. So, I mean, that's just a headline. Obviously, he's not going to come out and say, oh, sure, I'll go to LSU. He did acknowledge that in this business, change happens.
Yeah, it does.
It certainly does. But after being here, this place is phenomenal, and I plan on being here a long time. At least until my $75 million runs out. We've got some odds on who's going to die in episode 3.
People with Game of Thrones talk. We'll do some Game of Thrones talk next. Ben, you got your overrated, underrated. We'll do that at 12:30, and then we'll do last call. That's the schedule for the rest of the hour. There's your warning. If you don't like us, you can leave now.
Goodbye.
But if you rock with us, we'll be back on the other side. Talking Thrones. All right, Cody, you got your odds. I mean, we're just going by what the people want. We've gotten many tweets of people saying they want some Thrones talk. You want some Thrones talk. I want some Thrones talk. So,
before we get to the odds.
Okay.
I'd like to let everyone know that I have a bracket that I am trying to make digital.
Please help. In search of someone smarter than him and me and Ben to digitalize our bracket.
I tried after the show yesterday for an hour to make a digital bracket, and I got one done, but I couldn't export it. So if someone can help me on maybe a free bracket generator, I would appreciate your help. I've got the characters who are alive, the ones who matter, seeded 1 through 32. You know, 4 different regions of 8 each. And we're going to have a tournament to see who comes out. The Battle for Westeros is what we're calling it. So I would like to tweet this out and get many opinions on it if someone can help me with a digital bracket generator. Because right now I just have a paper bracket. Which I could just take a picture of, I guess.
Nah, we need to make it look better than that.
Yeah. Well, somebody help me out with that. So
I also want to do our confidence pool. We need to pick ooh, like what? Yeah. We need to pick like what? 15 people?
We got that for Friday, right?
Mm-hmm. I think we should do it Friday. But we need to get our confidence pool out.
On death.
Yeah.
Our confidence pool on death.
But now we're just looking at what? The best odds to die this episode, or the best odds to die first, or both, or what?
These are from Odd Shark, the best odds to die in episode 3.
Cody, real quick, Chad, great friend of the show, says
always has been.
DM him the thing, he'll have it set up.
Chad!
What a guy.
Our brother.
Just DM him a picture of your
take a
bracket.
Picture, send it to him, he'll type it up and get it up for you.
I'll do that. Thank you, Chad, for your assistance.
But we don't want it filled out. We just want the first round set up.
Right. Chad, well, I mean, Chad, if I send him a picture of mine, it's already filled out.
But Chad's smart enough to realize just to fill out the first round. Cody just wanted to fill his out, which is really weird because you made the bracket. Like, I feel like your seeding, I feel like your matchup should have just reflected seeding since you did all that, but whatever.
I thought maybe I'd trick myself and pick some upsets. I don't know. And I did. I picked several upsets.
I'm going to take a picture of this as you give me the odds. I'm going to send it to Chad
right
now.
Yeah, send that to Chad.
I'm going to send it right now. I'm going to get it done.
Make sure Chad knows. Now, does Chad know all these people, the spellings and
I'm
all
just
this?
Taking a picture and
just
I don't
try
know.
To make it clear.
I don't look. Chad's a smart man. He is going to take this very seriously.
I know. Chad knows not to use the whole bracket, just the first round.
I'm just taking a picture of the first round.
Can you take a clear picture?
I'm taking two different pictures of each of the first round matchups. It's fine. I got it.
Make sure he knows left side and right side.
I think he. Okay, that's a good point because for some reason, okay, I'll.
Yeah. Because I've got that seated properly.
Okay.
So.
Left side, strong side.
And actually, I wanted to reseed a couple, but I guess it's not
it's
a big
late.
Deal. I guess it's not a big deal. I wanted to make Leanna Mormont a 7 seed and move Gilly to an 8.
That was one of my biggest critiques.
Yeah, I should have done that, but I don't know. Gilly's been around for a while. So, odds to die in episode 3. The best odds, two people tied with best odds to die in episode 3. And by the way, Grey Worm is not listed.
Is he not considered a B character?
He's just not listed by Odd Shark. And I'm thinking maybe it's because everyone would bet on him to die and he would be a big favorite. Because we all believe Grey Worm's going to die, don't we?
I think so.
But
he'd be my number one in the confidence pool.
Well, the two tied with the best odds, can you guess who they are?
I mean, it's got to be Brienne and, no, Tormund. Tormund's got to be number one, right?
Tormund's one of them.
And Theon?
Theon's third. So Brienne is 15 to 1. Theon is 13 to, or no. Brienne is plus 150.
To die.
Theon is plus 130 to die.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, so we got... Just give it to me, damn it. I don't want to play this guessing game anymore. I'm confused.
Jorah.
Okay.
Jorah and Tormund, both plus 110.
Well, just whether or not they die, huh? Basically, like the whole idea of this new episode is just prep for death, correct? I mean, that's what we're all waiting for, is to see which of our favorite characters die. And come on, as you've had time, Cody, I need you to admit something for me and the audience.
Okay.
As you've had time to make your bracket... To take 34, 36 characters that were still alive and put them in a bracket, as you've had time for Odd Shark to release these odds, come on. Admit it's more fun to wait a week to watch an episode. Come on.
I'll admit it today.
Admit it.
I'll admit it today, but Sunday night at 10 o'clock, I would have killed someone to have watched the Battle of Winterfell.
Sure. But once Monday morning hit, you're like, okay, I'm fine with waiting.
Well, we're also on the radio. So, and we did the podcast thing. So, like, we enjoy talking about things.
Right. I think America likes talking about it. You saw how many people tweeted saying they wanted to hear about it.
If we didn't talk about it like we do, I think I'd rather just watch them all.
Sure. But, I mean, one of the reasons I said I like watching one week at a time is that the dialogue. I enjoy the dialogue.
Well, yeah. And
with my brothers and sisters and of the internet and radio.
And, you know, another thing is it prolongs the end of the show.
Yeah.
And I don't.
You would have been done in nine hours. You would have been done. You would have knocked it out in one afternoon.
It probably is better this way.
And then you'd have felt the same way you feel when you leave the Golden Corral. Just like, I should have slowed down and enjoyed that a little more. Now I don't feel so good.
Yeah.
Now what?
I haven't been to Golden Corral in some time.
Good.
But might progress. Go there for lunch. But
I don't think that's a good idea, but you can do whatever you want to.
Me and the rest of the herd. Anyway, I think, yeah, I mean, I'll give you that one because I don't want this show to end, I think is the main reason. So prolonging it for another month means that we get to talk Game of Thrones for another month. Because when the show ends, you know, it's done.
Can you just say that, yes, John, I agree with you. You were right. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, do I have to put it in explicit terms
like
that?
No, you don't, but I need a little bit more concrete than that.
I think I tend to mostly agree with what you said now.
Funny, that's two big things that you vehemently disagreed with.
What was the other one?
That Daenerys is kind of...
You know it's Daenerys.
I call her Danny for a reason.
It's not Daenerys Moore. You remember him who played for Tennessee?
I'm not good at names. I go with Danny.
I don't like correcting things, but I felt like I should tell you. And I'm admitting to you being right
about
two things.
You only correct me when you're mad at me.
I'm not mad at you.
You're trying to humble me a little bit.
No, I'm not mad at you, but if I have to admit to you being right about these two things, then I at least get to correct.
So how do I say it?
Daenerys.
That's how you're supposed to say it.
It's just Y-S.
But I say Daenerys.
You say it like Daenerys Moore.
I say Daenerys, and it's just Daenerys. Wait, what? How do I say it?
Daenerys.
How do I say it?
Daenerys is how you say it.
All,
you
all add the time a U. I do? Oh, okay.
You add an E-S. It's just...
That's weird, because I feel like I knew that it's not that. I feel like I know it's Daenerys.
Just Daenerys.
I feel like I know that, but I do say it when I'm on the radio. I do say Daenerys.
You say Daenerys.
And that is weird.
Granted, there was a football player here once named Daenerys Moore.
But it's weird, because I don't feel like I say that when we're just talking about it regularly. I think whenever I just get going a mile a minute on the radio. Or maybe I say it when
you
we're just...
You said it on the podcast, too.
Well,
you
I know that's kind of the same...
Well, yeah. Yeah,
same mindset. I feel like I just always go with Danny for a reason. Maybe I don't know her name.
It's just Daenerys.
What's her odds of dying?
She's not listed. Jon Snow's plus 575, though.
That's it? Yeah. Plus 575?
Yeah.
That's not very big.
No.
Now, wait just a damn second.
Arya's plus 525.
Wait a second. Those odds aren't very long. That's the rough equivalent of, say, like a 17-point underdog winning in football.
Yeah, it's like 5-1. If Arya dies, we riot.
I mean, what's more likely in your opinion? That Jon Snow dies on Sunday or that the Titans win the division?
That Jon Snow dies on Sunday.
No. Okay, never mind.
I mean, it's the Texans and Colts in pretty good shape these days.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe.
So, yeah, we're about to say goodbye to all of our B-list characters.
Do you have the odds on who the first to die is? Because I think that one's the interesting one.
Oh, just the first person in the episode to die?
Yeah, who's the first to die in the episode? I think that one's the fun one. Do you have that?
I haven't seen that. Is that somewhere? I'm sure somebody's got odds out.
I have it on my Discord. Hold on.
Okay.
Let me go find it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Discord really comes in handy.
Yeah, I haven't been on today.
First to die. All right, here we go. 4-1. The favorite? Would you like to guess on who the favorite is to die first? I think this is according to Bet Online. So you did Bet Odd Shark first. I think this is Bet Online. Those two might actually be connected somehow.
First to die in the episode.
First to die in the episode.
Maybe Tormund? Because I could see Tormund just like storming in.
Tormund is 5-1. He is tied for the second best odds.
Okay, so first to die. How do they determine that? Like,
I don't know.
I
don't know. I would assume it has also like it also probably is related to who we think is gonna die
and who's more important and who your heart and kind loves
of,
more,
and also just kind of how the episode would play out. Like, because you said Jon Snow is only what 575 to die.
Mm-hmm.
He's 6,600 to die first.
Right. Yeah, that's not good.
Because if he dies, it's going to be at the end of the episode.
Yeah, that's you don't just progress through the episode after Jon Snow dies. I would say, who do we love the most out of these characters has a lot to do with
that. Out of all
that.
The B characters, do you think the people we love the most is going to die first?
They'll die later.
Okay.
I'm just wondering, like, who
Well, if you go by that line of thinking, you should be able to get this answer. I feel like you're working
Grey
through
Worm.
It. He's not on here either.
Okay. I feel like we don't love Grey Worm all that much, though.
I feel like if you work through this line of thinking, you're going to get there. I believe in you. Let's do it. Come on.
Character that we least like,
yeah.
Who might...
That we don't Jorah. Really... Getting warmer. I mean, getting colder.
It's a main character? Like a...
I mean, it's a B-list guy. Or girl.
Gendry?
Theon!
None of us. Theon's redemption story, though.
Wait, we like Theon? Where was I at? Do we like Theon now?
We love his redemption story.
It's over, though. And I don't love his redemption story either. I don't think he's all of a sudden absolved from all the bad things he's done just because he went on a boat and got his sister while Euron was gone. It wasn't like he risked death to go fight Euron to get her back.
Okay, so this says Theon dies first.
He's the favorite at 4-1. Am I wrong? Are we team Theon now? Do people like Theon?
I feel like Theon, yeah. And Theon's been there since the beginning.
Well, I mean, I know, but I feel like, has Theon not kind of ran his course?
Oh, absolutely. I'm ready for Theon to die.
So hold on. Let me pose it this way. Are you going to be sad if Theon dies?
Somewhat. I'm going to be sad
really?
When everyone dies.
Everyone?
I think so.
Nah, there's a lot of these characters. Like, Jorah dies, like, ah. See you later, buddy. Grey Worm dies. See you later.
The only ones I don't really care about, I don't care about Gendry like a lot of people do. When Gendry dies, I'll be like, all right, see ya.
I think that's another one I apparently say wrong.
I feel
claim Gendry. That's what I think I'd go with. It's Gendry, like you're saying. I think it's just another name that I'm...
I wasn't going to point that out.
I was going to just get ahead of it.
Yeah.
I was going to kind of 8-mile myself here.
Also, honestly, Tormund... I don't care about Tormund like most people do.
I like Tormund, but I feel like his destiny is to die. I feel like...
It won't make me sad to see Tormund die.
I mean, none of them's really going to make me sad anymore just because I'm bracing for all of them to die.
Arya wouldn't make me sad.
I don't think any of them will make me sad.
Arya anymore. Won't make you sad if she dies?
I say that now that I don't think it will. It depends on what happens, I guess. Maybe I'll be moved to emotion when Brienne of Tarth is trying to hold the line and... You know, she goes out saving someone's life. I feel like that might hit me emotionally. Maybe I'm getting a little goosebumps thinking about her saving the Stark girls again, because that's her destiny. You know, that's her job is to save the Stark girls. That's what she promised the mother. So maybe I will get emotional. You know what I'm getting goosebumps thinking about? No, Samwell can go. I'm not going to be sad when Samwell Tarly dies.
Watching the children die, I think, will be kind
of
sad.
Well, I mean, if you remember my power rankings list of the saddest deaths, they're pretty much all kids for me.
You know they're going to make... Like I saw some guy saying yesterday, yeah, they won't make any kids die. Lyanna Mormont is dying. Without a doubt, Lyanna Mormont's dying.
And look, as far as Arya goes, they have made it clear she is no longer a kid.
No, she's
so,
not.
So, I mean, she if she can have her boobies hanging out from the side, then we don't have to treat her as a kid when she dies. They have made it clear that she is a grown woman now.
Do you think Arya probably has the highest emotional toll with fans
of
the show?
I think that's the only character that we would be like, ooh, no, put your clothes back on.
Well, no, I mean like far as death goes.
Well, I mean, I know it, but I think it's connected in terms of the whole connection with her is that you feel like she's your little sister.
You've
like
watched her grow up.
She's been a little kid. Yeah, you've seen her grow up. Any of these other characters get naked, we'd be like, okay. Somebody would be like, oh, yeah.
We
might draw the lotion out from his drawer and say, let's go.
Well, we've also...
That was graphic. I apologize.
We've also watched Bran and Sansa grow up.
Yeah, we don't like
But
Bran.
We don't care about them like we do Arya.
And Sansa was a jerk as a young kid.
Yeah, she helped cause a lot of these problems.
Yeah, I mean, she has.
So Arya dying will be by far the saddest death if she dies?
I think it's supposed to be, but I don't think it will be for me.
You don't think she'll... I don't know that she'll die.
I don't either, but I just think she's flirted with death for so long that it eventually gets you.
So who will be the saddest death who can die, who's left to die? For you. For me, it's got to be Arya. And Cersei, because I don't want to see Cersei not on the show.
I don't think Ian will just make me sad, you know, in a vacuum, but I imagine the context is going to be dramatic for a couple of these people, right?
Like with Dany?
Like, I feel like if Jaime dies, it's going to be sad. Going to be doing him trying to do something heroic, and that always gets me.
Same with John, probably.
Same with Brienne. Yeah, like, if one of those three people die, it's going to be trying to do something heroic. Maybe even the Hound. Like, I kind of feel like the Hound's going to die saving Arya to kind of bring this full circle. Or maybe even saving Brienne since, you know, they had their whole battle. An act of heroism at the end always tugs at my heartstring. That's why I cry at the end of Armageddon every time.
Sam could die a hero.
Maybe. And then maybe if he dies
trying
saving
to protect
somebody.
Gilly and the baby.
That won't do it for me. He'd have to be dying trying to save one of the Stark kids. Or John. Like maybe he dies saving John because, you know, John kind of saved his life.
He did.
In season one just by taking him under his wing. That type of stuff will get me.
Speaking of wing, I'll be sad if Drogon dies. Drogon's definitely my favorite dragon.
I think that's weird. Ghost will make a lot of people cry.
Ghost, yeah, Ghost probably dies.
Overrated, underrated next. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Overrated, my friend.
Overrated. I want to tell you why. I think that's a solid rated right there. It's perfect rated.
He underrated, man. He has some swag. He has some real swag.
Lobsters are underrated. They don't die.
All right. You guys ready for overrated, underrated?
Kirk Herbstreit does not look well.
Absolutely.
They're on that TV.
He does not look well on
that
TV.
Oh, God, he's tired.
He's got to get his highlights fixed.
He may be on drugs.
Let's play.
First up.
Maybe. We don't know.
He's in Nashville.
First up, jelly beans.
I'm just going to go with what I think, which is that jelly beans are underrated. Most of my life, I avoided jelly beans. Then all of a sudden, someone had some Starburst jelly beans laying around. I was like, you know what? I'm going to try some of these. They were pretty good. So I go underrated. Because most of my life I was like, these are not good. These look gross. But they were soft and gushy and yummy.
Jelly beans are trash. They're overrated. They got all those different flavors that are just disgusting. Like the popcorn flavored ones and the root beer flavored ones and the... Those are so gross. And they got like that coconut flavored one. It's like a little pina colada. Jelly beans are disgusting. Why not just get a regular like fruity candy? You said you needed Starburst jelly beans? Just get the Starburst.
I didn't say I needed them. I said get
the gummy bears. Get the Welch's fruit snacks. There's so many things. Sour Patch Kids. Jelly beans are the worst when it comes to like fruity. They're like Skittles without being good, is what they are. They're like oversized off-brand Skittles. That's all jelly beans are. They're gross. Overrated.
The dragons in Game of Thrones.
Know where you're going. Dragons are underrated because I think too many people say they're overrated. They're not appreciated enough. And... we didn't need the Dany and John dragon riding scene. Sure, I admit to that. But without the dragons, Dany's character doesn't exist the way that it does. So that's a huge part of the show. If you didn't have dragons, you wouldn't have a song of fire and ice. If it was all just ice and no fire, You lose so much historical context to the show. You lose how the show began with the Mad King. You burn them all. You lose so many things without the dragons. I'm actually going underrated with the dragons.
I feel like the dragons have to be overrated just in the sense. And look, I'm not going to bash the dragons. That's an old song and dance of mine, and there's no reason to do that again.
A song of ice and fire.
But all I will say is that I feel like the dragons were the last scene of at least four of the season finales. I might be making that
season up. Season one, yes. When Danny first has her dragons.
Yeah.
You count that.
Season seven, yes. And the big reveal was
the
ice dragon.
Yeah, okay.
And then I feel like wasn't there two other times? Was it the end of season six? Actually, whenever like the dragons are flying over the boats as Danny is on her ships,
yes,
finally.
That's the final scene in season six.
So I mean, at least three, and I think there's another one.
Season five, they're in the last episode when they save them from the pit.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's the last. Is Danny flying the dragon?
I don't think that's the season finale.
I don't think so. I think you're right.
But I mean, I don't feel like they deserve the hammer of every damn season, or at least half of the seasons. I got to go overrated just for that regard. They're cool. And they've obviously got Daenerys. I did it that time. They obviously got Daenerys to where she's at today. You know, that's where she got her power from. Without
and
the
she
dragon.
Is a big part of the show.
I mean, I know, I'm just saying without the dragon, she's nothing. So I got to go there. They're good, but a little overrated. Can we say that? They've closed too many seasons.
I mean, they're a huge part of the show. Like, when you see them come to power, though, you're like, oh, yes, the dragons are here to save the day.
Like, is that the biggest storyline, in your opinion, of the show, the dragons?
No.
Then I think them closing three to four seasons is a little too much.
I mean, what are we going to close it with? The White Walkers every season?
No, just a nice mix. Be nice to have the
White. Pretty nice mix.
Be nice to have the White Walkers here and there, and I don't know. I did do Jon Snow getting killed one time.
That was a pretty good season end.
Spoiler alert.
Season five.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, you're bad about not giving that when you say that. I like the way the CGI has progressed with the dragons.
They started making more money.
It's pretty cool, though. The first time Danny uses the dragon.
Can we get back on
the
track
the first
here?
Time she says Dracarys and it burns the slave master.
Sure. Please respect the game.
That's pretty cool.
It's your show. It's my game.
I mean,
it's underrated.
Game.
NFL draft coverage.
I'll go underrated just because it's so consistent. You can have NFL draft coverage year-round. Like, if you need a topic, like here on the radio, there's been some times, Cody, where I've been like, hey, got a new mock draft. Are you interested in who's at the top? And you'd be like, sure, give it to me. It's always a nice fallback. And if I wanted right now, I could go ahead and start prepping for the 2020 NFL draft. I'm sure they already got the mock drafts up there.
Tua, Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence still be in school.
Yeah.
He can't come out next year?
No, he's just going to be a true sophomore.
Yep.
That would be really...
Seems really unfair for him, huh?
That would make the draft better if Tua and Trevor Lawrence were coming out, and then it's like, who are they going to pick?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you take Trevor Lawrence, hands down. I don't think anyone's actually debating
I thought
that.
A sophomore could come out if they got to be a redshirt
sophomore.
You
got to be out of high school for 3 years.
Yeah.
You got to be in college for 3 years.
You got to be out of high school.
Yeah.
Out of high school for 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, so you go to a prep school or...
Because when Manziel came, he was a redshirt sophomore, right?
Yeah. That's 3 years.
Right.
Freshman, sophomore.
Yeah, no, I know that. But, I mean, I was just thinking Trevor Lawrence. Because he's a true freshman.
Sucks for him, huh?
It really sucks. I'd like to see him come out.
So do you think draft coverage is overrated or underrated?
Oh, overrated. Yeah, absolutely overrated. We have so much coverage just leading up to, and the Falcons select this guy.
You don't like it?
Well, we don't know half the players. You know, you got all these linemen and these defensive ends from these small schools, these MAC schools. Don't even know half the players. I like the draft. When we say coverage, do we mean on draft day? Because I love
that. I mean year-round.
See, I think that's overrated. I love the Thursday of the draft. I think it's fun. I like going to drink beer and eat wings and watch it.
Doritos.
Maybe for this or that tomorrow, do red versus blue. I love Doritos. Underrated. For a while, like as a kid, you really love them. For a while, I went away from them. But I have since come really running back to Doritos. Doritos are good, man. They're the best chip around, right? Especially if you get both of them, like the variety of it. Like maybe if you're like, hey, you get one sandwich, you get to pick one chip. Maybe I go with the Lay's barbecue as my go-to. Like, so maybe that's my favorite chip. But getting both red and blue Doritos, that's a pretty good. That's a pretty good consolation. Doritos, underrated.
Overrated. I've always thought chips are overrated in general.
I love chips.
I know that's a surprising sentence coming from me, but I've honestly, I like them with the sandwich, but otherwise, like, I've never just bought a bag of chips as a snack. And to me, the fact that dips exist mean that chips are not good enough by themselves.
I mean, you don't have to put Doritos in dip.
I know, but like regular, would be better with dip. Like,
no.
They all chips are better with dips.
Is that a take?
That's why dips exist.
I thought dips existed for like the regular plain chips and like the Tostitos chips.
You never dip Doritos in like some buffalo dip or some, yeah.
Do people do that?
Oh, yeah. Doritos and nacho cheese dip, which you don't like nacho cheese, but.
That sounds disgusting.
No, it's good. Doritos and like, you ever make, do you like cheese dip that you make? Like the Velveeta and Rotel? And
I put basic chips in those.
Yeah.
I mean, most people do, but Doritos are still used.
Okay, so
dip.
You're saying this is a take, but it's not. You just do it.
No, like, I think a lot of people use Doritos to dip.
Normal people aren't using Doritos to put into sour cream and onion.
Yeah. Well, not in sour cream and
or
onion.
Or salsa.
The only
or
like,
queso.
Not in those particular dips. Queso, maybe.
The only abstract thing I do like with a Dorito is just put it on my sandwich.
I do that too, and I would say underrated if you said Doritos on the sandwich, because I love that. It gives your sandwich a crunch without having to eat lettuce. It's perfect. I love that, Ben, and I would have said underrated to that. But chips in general, to me, overrated. They're just kind of dry, and they're, you know, I mean, they're not a...
Like barbecue chips? You putting barbecue chips in dip too? You said all chips are meant for dip? Like, I feel like it's not, just the plain chips.
I can't think of anything I've ever dipped barbecue chips in.
Ketchup.
I just... what? I feel like...
I think it's a really gross thing to make Cody pause his tracks like
I just think that chips are always made better by either putting them on the sandwich or putting them with dips. And to me, that makes them overrated. Because they're dry, too. You ever eat a bag of chips without a soda? Or at least something to drink?
It's not ideal.
No, it's not. You wouldn't eat crackers that way, right? I mean, nobody's just eating a sleeve of Ritz crackers. They're basically the same thing.
I mean, I'm not putting crackers in dip, though. I mean,
of course you are. That's what crackers are for.
I used to eat my crackers plain.
Yeah, I eat crackers plain all the time.
Your food takes are struggling today.
No. You guys just have bad food takes.
It's either cheese or peanut butter
on the
crackers.
You're advocating for dipping Doritos into nacho cheese.
Yeah.
No, listen. With crackers, you guys are saying you eat plain crackers.
I mean, I don't eat a lot of crackers, but at my grandma's house, she had a sleeve of the crackers you had. I would just eat crackers and drink them out and do.
No. You eat crackers. You got to have peanut butter, cheese, or dips.
Sometimes I put peanut butter on it, but sometimes I eat them plain.
Crackers are good with dips, too. They're good with dips.
Overnight or next day shipping? Last one.
I got to go overrated. I got to go overrated because usually the free ground shipping actually gets there sooner than it says it will. So, I mean, unless you have Amazon Prime where you're getting it, you know, included in your price, then it's awesome. But otherwise, I'm not paying the $12 to $17 to $20. I don't need anything that badly. I'd rather just take my chance with the ground, and hopefully it beats its estimation. Although I did order this book and had the next day delivery, and it got here the next day. That was pretty cool. Wanted to read, and it was there to read.
Here's your book.
It's like going to the store,
it's
basically.
It's like going to a book
yeah,
store.
Yeah, I was like, what? That's my whole thing with shipping. I don't order things. I'll go with underrated just to stick with the disagreement, because I think we've disagreed on everyone so far. But I just go to stores.
We play this or that the way you play underrated, overrated. You might win some games.
That's
this
true.
That.
I just go to stores, man. I don't order things. Did you know I've never ordered anything from Amazon?
I did know that. You've already told us that before on the air. And I remember everything you say.
I've never ordered anything. I don't order things, so I don't. But I imagine next day's better than waiting.
You interested in a correction from one of your Game of Thrones takes?
Sure.
Alex says that Dany first used the dragons in the House of the Undying on the Warlock, by the way. Not the, not when she said Jacaris.
Well, I saw that Alex said that, but I was wondering, did she burn the Warlock?
I thought she did.
Maybe she, I don't remember it as well. That was a really weird thing with the
it was a house stupid of the scene. Yeah.
House of the Undying or whatever.
I mean, Daenerys from like season 3 to 5 is just like, oh my god, I don't want to see this woman on TV anymore. Daenerys.
Now we did see Daenerys. Now that did have the scene where she goes to the Iron Throne and there's just ice, and that is still thought to maybe have been some foreshadowing.
I thought that was season 2.
I thought it was when she was having the visions, or not the visions, but whatever. I thought it was the House of the Undying.
Maybe.
When she was there with the magic man.
Maybe. I thought it was season 2.
That was really weird, the House of the Undying. But
last call on the other side.
Yeah. Okay.
Last call is brought to you by our friends at Volunteer Vodka, award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee, the third best vodka in the entire world, the best vodka in the continental United States. That's what the Berlin International Taste Competition said. Stop by and pick you up a bottle. Support us. All right, Cody, let's go. Pump the brakes and keep rolling, my friend. Which one was it to go, first or second?
I will go second today.
Okay, we got the SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. Comments on the college football playoffs. An expansion? Question mark?
No, senor!
Okay, I was really banking on you stopping on that one. How about my top 7? Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Would you like to know my top 8 NBA players at the moment? This is in particular order. Here's how I'm ranking my top 8 NBA players. Congratulations to Damian Lillard. He gets to come in at number 8. Last night's performance solidified it for me. Top 10 player, putting him at number 8. Huge honor for Damian Lillard. He's number 8. Number 7, I'm going to go with Joel Embiid. I'm a little worried about his conditioning, a little worried about his long-term health, but Joel Embiid, when he's playing, is one of the best players in the league. His defense, his offense, he does it all. He's my number 7. Number 6, I am going with Paul George. Oh, wait, let me knock that back. I have to knock that. I'm going with Paul George. Sorry. Someone else was giving me the list. Paul George coming in at number 6. He's a good two-way player. Does it all, right? Plays defense, scores. The Thunder are his team. And I think they should trade Russell Westbrook. I think they should get rid of him. Get rid of that toxicity.
Exile.
Give it to Paul George.
Exile.
Build around Paul George. He is the 6th best player. Number 5 for me, LeBron James. I know. LeBron's number 5 as far as I'm concerned.
I don't have anything to say about that.
Do I think LeBron can remind everyone next year that he's the best in the world? Yes, I do. Am I worried that he's going to do it? Yes, I am. Worried as he can't do it.
I don't know how to feel about that.
Number 4 for me, I'll go with the chef. Steph Curry. Nothing to say about Steph. He is what he is. He's one of the more exciting players to watch when he catches fire. If he's not on fire, sometimes I wonder
that
if
I
he's...
I can guess your top 3.
In order? Mm-hmm. Okay.
3, you're going to go with Kevin Durant, 2, James Harden, 1, Giannis.
I went 3, Harden, 2, Durant, 1, Giannis.
Damn it.
I forgot Anthony Davis.
You could put him at 9.
Yeah, I probably have to put. Let me add Anthony Davis behind Embiid ahead of Lillard. Can we do that?
You could.
Let's do that.
You also forgot Rajon Rondo.
Nah, he's number 11.
Well, I like your list.
Thank you. Thank you for stopping on it.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Even though we weren't able to get to an in-depth watercolor painting discussion today, I still like hearing about the NBA.
You got a story?
I do.
You know what? Since you're so nice, go ahead and stop, Ben.
I'm Michael Jordan.
Thank you.
I'm showing you ultimate confidence and ultimate trust.
Yeah, this is great.
Give me your story.
There's a crisis at the Playboy Mansion, Insiders tell Page Six. Apparently, management has not been able to train the famed Playboy bunnies to perform basic hosting tasks. The club, it's called the Playboy Club.
I forgot Kawhi Leonard, too.
You did?
I feel like I said that Kawhi. He's better than Dame, too.
Dame, you're still in my top 10. Sorry, go ahead. It's your story.
Wait till Bobo gets in the league. Talk about a top 10 player. The Playboy Club opened back in September. So they hired a bunch of beautiful women, Playboy bunnies, to serve drinks and wait tables at their Hell's Kitchen location. But it appears that the managers have worried more about how the prospective hires looked in a corset and fluffy tail than their relevant experience in the service industry. And apparently they're having to fire people. They fired half the bunny staff because they can't – it's just poor service at the Playboy Club. So they just hired them because they were attractive and looked good in the bunny outfits. Mm-hmm. And apparently they are not; they do not have skills in the service industry.
I mean, if you go to any restaurant that tries to get by on just putting scantily dressed women out there, chances are the service isn't going to be that good.
They hired strictly based on looks.
Yeah. I've experienced this plenty of times going to restaurants like that.
Yeah.
If you're an attractive person, you think you can get by without being good at your job.
Whereas Bertha at the Waffle House is going to take care of you.
My girl Rhonda at Cracker Barrel,
yeah,
she wants that third star on that blazer.
Damn right she does.
She's going to run around and she's going to make sure you get your biscuits.
It's not always about being hot. Sometimes good service is preferred. Imagine Debbie in a plaid skirt.
Good job by you today. Hopefully we'll have your bracket ready to go tomorrow. Good job by you, Parker. Way to run that Periscope, my friend. Ben Lee's solid. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay locked in. It's optional.